Krishna.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's been how many years now since you are in Oroville?
It's 21 years now. 21. Yeah.
And all this time you're trying to produce organic grown food, and then also the permaculture with Fukuoka Master came in, right?
Yeah, I would say more I've been trying to find my way in my life, you know, and trying to find a way to live my life that has a meaning for myself, bring me richness into my life with people in the society, trying to find a way to integrate things, a way to integrate music, integrate community, integrate living close to nature, doing things autonomously, creating a life, you know, not following what's laid out for you. Go to university and then do this and then get a job. So I can see that in these 21 years it's been quite an interesting evolution of for me personally, which is at the core of it, I can say, apart from, you know, Mother and Sri Aurobindo, the whole sort of inner inquiry, the Fukuoka has been very present in that. And in more recent times with our organic cafe taking off and other projects that we've been involved with, like the TLC school coming, working on the farm, the CSA project that's in its, like, I don't know, maybe sixth year now, and community-supported agriculture. That's where people are buying baskets of vegetables and fruits in advance and not choosing what they get. That's the key, that they take a responsibility for what grows in this bioregion. So
recently you come up with a new, maybe it's not really new, but at least it sounds new, the slow food movement.
So the slow food movement was actually, it's not, I'm not really into this name. I just used that as a name to start a meeting, because I knew people would relate to that name because it's well known. What I've been trying to do, and you know, along with Thomas and other people, Jeff and other people have been involved, Devayani, Martin, Jasmine, Alwin, many people have been involved in this, is trying to create a people's movement where we say that local food, its production, distribution, its consumption has to be a foundation of any society. All civilizations have been grown upon the fact that they've had access to their own food, and they've had autonomy because of that, you know. So
what is the, when you're talking about that autonomy and so forth, what is the situation of Oroville today?
So today in Oroville we have, on a positive note, we have a lot of people aware of these matters to a certain extent, and a group of people coming together to try and make a change on the realistic level as well. We have 5 tons of realistic level on another side of the reality. You can say we have 5 tons of rice sitting in the storeroom in the granary in Annapurna that's not getting to the consumer. So if we start asking why, that's like a very big discussion, but that's a fact of the matter. And then we often have in the food link vegetables that are being, not often, but it's happening regularly enough, vegetables and fruits that are being returned to farmers because they're not being able to, you know, they're not being sold, they're not getting to the mouths to feed them, you know. We have a lot of unused land in Oroville. Public spaces not being used. We have use of water resource, use of resources being used in ways which are not in line with this global, it's a very important moment in the world today that people start thinking about, where is our food going to come from? Food is becoming a crisis again. Price rises are here again in India this season. I was seeing again that there's talk of a less than normal monsoon. So again, price rises are going to go up again. And we have to, I mean, I've been saying it for years now. I mean, I'm not alone. I'm not the only voice saying this, but we have to take full responsibility for local food, for our food production in Oroville. And that means many, 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 many initiatives that will be needed. And this local food movement that we've started is addressing those initiatives. You know, it's bringing a lot of people together, and everybody seeing it through their particular perspective. So there's people in education exploring how to integrate local food with education. For example, they're saying, let's not buy anything from outside anymore for the snack time. Let's take Oroville grown food. So let's make sure that we have popcorn and banana chips and sprouts and the fruit from Oroville. And then they haven't just said that. Then on top of that, there's meetings to look at how to implement that. That means looking at how do we develop better relationship with the farmers, how do we make a better, clear relation with Food Link so we get those produce, how do we start having small gardens in the schools where at least the bananas, papayas, pineapples, those basic things are growing themselves, and that the children are involved in those activities. There's been very inspiring talk in the educational group that they would like to be one more of a singular voice, and that you know, unite a bit more the schools so that maybe they'd go around and help each other do the gardens. It wouldn't be that one school is on its own doing its garden, but actually there would be like a team going around and helping each other, which is quite inspiring. This type of mentality that's moving more from the individual to the collective, because this is the key for the whole thing. It's we will have solutions when we move together as a group, you know.
I remember 2 years ago you started with permaculture gardening, or 3 years ago, and you were going around with groups. You also came to the schools, yeah?
Yes.
Did you maybe follow up?
So that project got paused due to, you know, just too many things going on. But that is another project that's going to get picked up now. There's people who have expressed an interest to take charge of that project, you know. Taking charge of a project means the communication, the publicity, the bringing people together, make sure there are seats, make sure there are, you know, there's a list of where the people we're going to go to have tools. So there's like it needs people to be very focused to make sure it happens. But there are people who want to do that. And we have probably the most interesting project for me at the moment in terms of this, you know, community gardening is the town hall project, which is in the pipeline now. It's been, you know, we were asked by some people in the town hall to come and make a plan of how we could make better use of this land around the town hall. There's basically lawns and a few ornamentals, and you know, there's resources there. There's water, there's gardeners, there's some money, it could easily be channeled into making a very beautiful edible landscape that's interactive with little benches and meeting tables,
and that it would provide the food for also for the Le Morgan,
For Le Morgan to a certain extent. But I think there's also another initiative to start other cafes that focus more on local food specifically, which is very important. And I would say the defining factor that will make it happen will be the community interaction. So what we're looking at is to create little modules of permaculture modules that we've already done a lot of, you know, which would be a fruit tree at the center of a circle garden, and around that circle garden you have other vegetables, flowers, grains, whatever growing, like sweet potato and corn, and in the middle you have this lemon tree, perhaps with some Radha's consciousness growing up around it. the runner's consciousness will be used in the cafe, as with the lemon, the sweet potato also. But then one of these little modules, they would be managed by about 4 or 5 Aurovillians, newcomers, guests, whoever. And those people, this is the proposed idea, those people would commit to a sort of internship in permaculture, a workshop, a series of workshops. So they would come for 2 or 3 workshops at Solitude and maybe at Pebble Garden, because I know Bernard is going to be involved in this as well, or he is already, as well as a number of other people, including Thomas and other people, yeah. So a series of workshops that prepare those people to do the implementation. Of course, we'll overview it as well. But then those people who take that, make that commitment, they would sign up for a couple of workshops every month for a period of a year. Mm-hmm. And that would be like a course. So they would, they would gather the skills, the knowledge, the experience of how to manage those gardens in the town hall. And at the same time, they would be, that experience would hopefully be then used to make gardens in their communities, in other places, for example, in the library, or of a library, a huge area that could be turned into,
there's
a lot of spaces all over Oroville. The collective participation is key to it, because none of these projects, none of this, the aim of, you know, reconnecting with local food is collective in its essence. So collective management of the town hall project, but also we will need some funding, and that could also be done in a collective way, like using a crowdfunding platform, and hopefully the people involved in Oroville would share that, because it's a very common need. It's a common, I think everyone who talks to me about it like gets excited and feels happy about it. So it could be an interesting model to start using for very collective goals, collective fundraising needs, you know.
But do you have an idea why we are not doing it yet? Because our village is standing almost 50 years now.
Well, I think that, Oroville is quite unique. There's people live close to nature in general. You know, you wake up and you're under the trees and you hear birds singing, and, you know, you live close to nature. But I think that there's something in our education system that is, which is very ingrained, very deeply conditioned in us, that we have become cerebrally top-heavy. You know, we think. But we don't have this relationship with the land so much anymore as part of our daily life. You know, like we don't have a, it's a disconnection with nature. And if you look at, don't look Oroville so separate from the rest of the world, but look at the world today, the examples are there. We're in a catastrophe right now, you know. And why is that? You know, surely that's because there's a dichotomy in us. There's a gap there. There's a, between us and nature, there's this division. We don't feel that we are nature. We lost that love for nature, that care for nature. Maybe some indigenous like communities had that before, but somehow with the very cerebral activity that comes with a higher education and university degrees and being very clever to get money and to get profits and all of this stuff, which then leads to capitalist sort of way of thinking, this obviously nature's just a stepping stone upon which you walk to get your profit. So until we change that around, I don't see how we'll change. You know, like organic is the word organic, or even permaculture now is also within that paradigm to get profits, to get money.
It's another label, you know, in many cases.
Exactly, it's another hype, you know. But still the same paradigm is there. So to break that paradigm, we can't expect the farm group to do it. We can't expect people from the town hall to do it. We can't expect anyone to do it for us. It has to be each one of us wake up. That means you and me. It's you and me that we accept that there's Nestle on the shelf in some of the shops, you know, in Oroville. We accept that there are, you know, all these products, that there are 5 tons of rice in Annapurna. We accept that. If we didn't accept it, we'd make a song and dance and we'd make some noise about it and we'd do something about it. So the fact that these people are coming together as a people's movement, each one of these people are taking responsibility. And there's a clarity in this group that we are doing actions. So this Saturday we'll have our meeting, which is our third meeting, and different people will present different projects. I'll present the town hall project. I know Maya and Asha will present about the education in Oroville. Then Yasmin will present a project about how she's contacting Oroville cafeterias and restaurants and getting them to commit to use Oroville food, but then promoting those cafes, telling people in the news and notes, and these people are using organic rice, Oroville rice. These cafes are using, you know, so to try and bring us together and get us all on the same page. So everyone will present their different projects. By the end of that, and then of course there'll be space for people to bring their ideas, which are invaluable. But then we'll say to people, okay, what can you do? You know, this project has 3 or 4 calls to action. We need someone to do the social media. We need someone to go around Oroville and put up posters. We need someone to contact this, someone to organize that, someone to do this. What will you do? So we'll try and hold everyone to an action, you know, however small, however, you know, whatever it is. But we try and get people to do things within the clear context of the projects that have been presented, you know.
So instead of just having presentations on projects, you are action-oriented.
Action-oriented, 100%. That's the key. That's the bottom line.
How many people came in the last 2 meetings?
The first meeting, there were about 12 Orovillians, and there were some 10 guests. And the last meeting, there were a lot more. I didn't even count it, but there was a lot more people. And mostly were Orovillians and newcomers, mostly. Were very few guests. So this meeting, I'm very aware that a lot of people are going to come because they keep telling me on the road, we like this idea, we feel connected with this, we want to be part of this. You see...
So this next one, just for information...
Saturday, 10:30 a.m., Solitude Farm.
Saturday,
and there will be local food.
And,
yeah, it's the summer solstice.
It's a nice celebration.
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment to have that meeting. And there'll be nice herbal teas and juices and snacks from the grown on the farm provided. You see, at the base of things, Fukuoka has said very clearly, you know, very very nicely expressed, he said, a society that doesn't know where its food comes from is a society without culture. And humanity without culture will die, will perish. So this is where we're at, you know. If you look at the problems we have in our society, they're very much due to a disconnection with nature. To a disconnection with nature implies a disconnection with where our food comes from. So this is actually, as much as the practical level of farmers being able to move their food, people being able to get good produce, the energy contained within it, within the society, within the community, within the ideas of permaculture. Apart from that, there's a deep social healing which is potentially, you know, there as well, because people would reconnect with nature, and that nature isn't something exterior to them, it's something inside of them.
As far as her mother said, we should stay connected with the nature.
Definitely. Well, she's the essence of nature.
You only go to Pondi, for example, you do the shopping with your wife. If you look at it, do you know which is the trigger that maybe caused for her to buy certain things which you know exactly that you could get it in one of our farms? What would be that reason?
I don't know about my wife, because my wife's pretty clued up about, she's pretty focused on organic stuff. Yeah, she's like into the whole thing now. Today we make a neem flower rasam for the restaurant, which is super healthy and just came from our trees, you know. But I think when people go to Pondi or even in Portus and buy vegetables that are not from Oroville, they are conditioned by the look of a vegetable.
Okay.
So people are not aware that there are hundreds of varieties of vegetables, and they want, like, for example, tomatoes, a round red tomato. There was a time we grew many types of tomatoes, as did Botanical Garden, as did a few other places. It was just impossible to move them. No one would take them because they look odd, they look different. You know, there was, the only way to get people to take things like that is to have a relationship with the food, with the farm, with the land. So that's one factor. For second factor is price. But this is, I mean, this is a debatable subject as well. I'm pretty sure at the moment Oroville mangoes are cheaper. I mean, I hope I'm right in saying this, but I'm pretty sure in saying that they're cheaper than mangoes you'll buy in Pondi, like the A-grade mango that we have. But the quality is vastly superior. Farming outside around the world is all subsidized. Our farming is not subsidized. So there is different, there's reasons for some of this. But when you are buying something like, you know, chemically grown, I don't know, broccoli or say potatoes, for example, there are options, there are alternatives, but people don't know about those alternatives. Tapioca is a wonderful alternative. Plantain, cooking banana, is a wonderful alternative. Yams are a wonderful alternative. And there's not just one yam, there's a number of yams we're growing. Jeff in particular is very good at some of these yams.
But I never see them in Purdue.
Because hard to move them. Because people aren't buying them, because they don't know about them. Because they don't have the education behind them. So this people's movement is going to address issues like that. For example, we have one guy called G, and he's basically taking up a particular cause, like we did it already with papaya and mango. Now he's taking up, I think, the cause of the rice in Annapurna's in granary, and trying to explain to people the benefits of having this rice and why parboiled rice. Parboiled is when the rice is still in the skin, and they boil the rice and then they dry it. A lot of the nutrients from the skin then go into the rice. It's really healthy, and it's a nice way to eat the rice. So explain to them all about the different rices, and trying to get restaurants, cafes to commit to using at least one of the meal, the options on the menu with the Oroville rice, to give people an option, you know. And then other initiatives he'll take after that is to take, for example, the jicama that Jeff makes, and to go around cafes and show them what it is, explain to them how they can cook it, explain to them the nutritional benefits, write it in the news and notes, nutritional benefits, possibly make some mini events where people can taste it and understand what it's all about, and try and get these local foods available and used.
So you're going to work a lot on education, and the fact is that some of us, we don't come from this neighborhood, so we are not maybe fully aware of what we can do in this climate zone.
Yes, the events are made for you. Like last week on Saturday we did a green smoothie workshop, and this Saturday we're going to do it again. Green smoothies are like a superfood. Chicken spinach, it's a weed. You throw some rosella seeds, it's a weed. Rosella is used. Some tulsi, it's like a weed if you throw some seeds. Some basil, it'll come like a weed also if you throw some seeds. We use this throat plant, it's put in Tamil Kapravali. We use a bit of that. Super healthy stuff, like very healthy. We put it in a mixie with some banana from the farm, with some papaya, with a bit of lemon. If you have some custard apple or some ramphal, or some soursop, just mix it up into some water, squeeze it, squash it so that the juice comes into the water, add it to the smoothie. You have like an incredibly healthy drink there, just made with local stuff.
What do you pick up on the road?
Just it could be in a flower pot outside your house, even if you don't have a garden. You know, it's absolutely easy for people to do these things. If our nutritional value is high in what we're eating, our beings will be better. If our personal being and health is better, our society is going to be healthy. And on top of it, there'll be less pollution because zero food miles. Many, many benefits are there.
I think the genetically modified food, okay, it looks nice, but on the long run, it will have consequences we are not really fully aware of.
I mean, absolutely.
The chemicals are fasting. You know exactly, okay, you've got a skin rash, you've got some headache, but with the...
No, there's the more than thing, that. More than that, there's also cancer coming and all sorts of things. Psychological things as well. Many things. We don't even know about them.
About many, I think the many consequences, especially genetically modified food, wherever it's still allowed, it's still allowed and is around. And I heard a few times when my friends were trying to grow up the things that you buy a seed and it doesn't produce the thing for the next year.
Mm.
So next year you have to buy seeds again.
Yeah, sure.
No, because if it's a healthy rice, you know, you grow the rice and some you can keep it for the seeds for the next year.
Yeah, sure. This is their strategy. It's a genocide. They're creating a genocide of all seed producers. So that it's like a Batman movie. Mm-hmm. It's the Batman movie, you know. These are the bad guys. And people don't know it. But that's they keep them, you know, with some nice shiny tomato and all, keep everyone happy. But those are the bad guys. They have actually already bought up, it's a company called Monsanto, a multinational, and they bought up all seed banks, all growers.
They didn't. As far as all the people already...
They bought up so many of them around the world already, so many, and in India as well. And they put other names on them, but they start to only give hybrid seeds. Now you go in Pondicherry, towards the bus stand by the RRO, there's a agricultural shop. You can't get vegetable seeds which are not hybrid in that shop. That means they're all grown, they all have the hand of Monsanto in them. They're all corporate, glossy, nice packets, pictures, this, that, blah, 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 add this chemical, do this, do that. The only thing you can get there is some local spinach seeds, some amaranth and this and that, and some green manure you can get. But otherwise, it's all the vegetables are all hybrid. You can go to botanical gardens and still get a little bit of non-hybrid seed. You can also get the hybrid there. But that's in Pondicherry. That's the only places we're getting seed. I think in the market, maybe this old guy is still there with a few glass jars of some seeds. In Coote Road, we can get some non-hybrid seeds. But that's like nothing, you know. The seeds is a very, 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 very essential thing. Deepika is working with Bernard on that in a very, very profound way since many, many years. Growing, you know, open pollinated varieties and distributing them. The action is there. She's distributing to hundreds of thousands of seeds, you know, distributing them all around India, which is crucial to keep these varieties alive, because there is a genocide, you know. There is no other word to describe it. The Monsanto is committing a genocide around the world,
but
on seed varieties.
I still got a feeling that people are waking up because they're aware that what he's doing, okay, they are maybe not, we are not active enough to stop him in many levels.
We're not aware, actually. I would say we're not aware. We still buy, you know, each one of us, we're still buying some junk from some company that's related with that. We're still buying, like a lot of people buying basmati rice. They like the color, they like the shape, they like the taste, this and that, instead of buying local rice. instead of exploring what you can do with the local rice. They're still buying, you know, processed spaghetti. Now it's standard in Oroville, you know, comes all the way from Italy. We're still buying those things over exploring local food, you know, oats instead of ragi. It's very, very common. But mainly people don't know how to use the local things. Mainly people won't know the benefits. Like if yesterday people had come for lunch here, we had plantain chips, so delicious.
Good, yeah.
We had banana flour, was really, really lovely.
What did you do with banana flour?
We make a vegetable dish with it. Oh. The flour from the banana tree, you know. Then we had our own moong dal cooked with the snake gourd. We had long beans from ours are not ready. They came from Oroville Farm. We had our own rice cooked with lemon rice. We had a fruit salad with mango and banana and soursop.
Oh.
So the value of those things on a nutritional level and health level is very, very priceless. Really is. And it's quite simple for us to start doing that. Only we have to want to do it. We won't want to do it until we are educated, until we are woken up. So this people's movement, that's the aim of it. This is the fundamental aim of this people's movement.
Huh? To awaken a community.
Yeah, to awaken a community. But it's not a group doing it again on a group. It's a group doing it for a group. We're doing it for ourselves. Each one of us waking each other up, you know. Trying to create the change ourselves.
What about children? Because I know in these permaculture gardening workshops, and also you are working with schools, because you know that importance of education. If you look at our children, are they aware?
They're as aware as we give them the opportunity to be aware. What the parents feed them, what the schools give them. So now if we have the snack time in all the schools who want to be involved in this, having popcorn grown in Oroville Farms, plantain chips grown on the farms, sprouts grown on the farms, banana, pineapple, soursop, papaya, and maybe a few other things grown on the farms, they will start to get familiar with that type of taste. That taste is far superior. There is habit in taste as well. You know, we can be led to believe with advertising that a Maggi noodle is good. So we believe it though from advertising, and this we start eating. We believe that this, you know, this 20 rupee packet is good food, but it's with monosodium glutamate and it's this and that and all this crap, you know, this rubbish. So this taste can change. Our habit of a taste can change. So if we can give that to the kids in the snack time, if with cooperation with other people feeding the Oroville School Solar Kitchen with other places like Solitude Cafe and maybe some of the schools cooking their own thing, we can start to get the kids to eat, you know, ragi, local millets, varagu, red rice, the parboiled rice, but find interesting ways to cook it. Snake, all the gourds, bottle gourd, snake gourd, bitter gourd, sweet potato, yams. And then all the different fruits, amlas and ramphal and soursop and all of these things, the kids will change it all. But we have to start doing cooking workshops, because as soon as people taste things, they're convinced. You can only convince people with moral and ethical reasons to a certain extent. But when people eat something and they go, wow, and then on top of it you say to them, but that cost you like less than half the price, and or even it was free because it was growing on your doorstep, and people are convinced. But it's convinced because they've tasted something. So we need to make more cooking workshops. We need to get the cafes and restaurants on board. The cafes and the restaurants in Oroville could be, you know, a profoundly transformative power.
Yeah,
if they would recognize that they have that social responsibility. They're not only a business. They're not only a place to go and eat. They can, if there's literature, if there was little posters, if there was little laminated things about different things that are available for eating, they could have a transformative role as well in the society very easily, you know.
So besides Solitude Cafe, is there any other who you use exclusively your own food, yeah?
I mean, exclusively, no. We also use some things from Foodlink at times, rarely, very rarely.
But it's from,
because we don't need to.
It's bioregion, yeah?
It's only from the bioregion, yeah. If we don't have something organic, it's something like onion, tomato. Tomato now only, since last couple of months, you know. But otherwise, very rare. Less stuff. It's onion and tomato, some garlic, little bit chili powder at the moment because we didn't have our own chili powder this year. But mainly our, like yesterday there was 10 things on the menu from our farm. Maybe two things were not from the farm.
And you're the only restaurant or cafe with this,
I mean,
aspect,
at the moment, but we don't want to be a monopoly on this. I started to share my smoothie recipes with different places in Oroville. I offered to Nicole in Vista Center and to the chips recipe, and I offered it to the Solar Kitchen. They didn't take up that for various reasons yet, but I'm sure they will, because I know that they're very on board with this. They've got their own organization to deal with as well. I've started to teach some cafes out around Oroville, like there's a little internet shop called Secret Garden in Edinjawadi. So I start to show them. They're on Saturday. I'm showing them about the smoothie, and then there's some place in Quillapalyam that I plan to. A friend of mine, he has that ice cream parlor. I'm thinking to
coffee bar.
Snehil, I showed him already. He was on the workshop last week. So there's Krishna, who has Richie Rich, no?
Oh.
So I thought, why doesn't he have a little organic side to his thing? Why doesn't he have a little health food edge to his thing? And
what did he say? He's gonna.
I haven't asked him about it yet. Oh. But if I go there with the things and help him out and give some free things and stuff, and he sees that it's low input, good income back, he might be happy to have one thing on the menu. Like this, we can make change, you know, to help each other. There's no exclusivity with Solitude Things. Who, if the Vista Sen or any other place wanted to start to do that, I would encourage them, and I will be doing that. I want to go to GP next, GP Cafe, and invite them here and show them a few things they could do, like to make their own Radha's Consciousness syrup, to make their own hibiscus syrup, to make simple things, like they don't have a herbal tea, I don't know, on the menu, or maybe they do, but
no, it's hard to get a herbal tea anyway.
Well, I mean, those are like the most easy things. When we have this local food meeting, most people want herbal tea without sugar. So people want that sort of thing, you know. And if you put soursop, one leaf, some tulsi, a little lemongrass, a little bit kaprawali, you have an exquisite taste, you know.
You can drink soursop leaves.
Soursop leaves are anti-cancer drink and preventative, also anti-parasitic. I think they're good for your hair, and not for me because I don't have any left at all. But I think they have various qualities. I mean, people need to start
as a fruit. I know that, but
people need to start researching them for themselves. Sit on a computer. There's this thing called Google, and you put anything in there, and you get all the information. Plantain the other day, because we have a lot of plantain we can't move, and I researched it and I saw that it's full of ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C basically. Yeah. It's full of iron. It's good for diabetes,
but
good for anemic people.
Yeah, but it's kind of heavy for the stomach, then. Yeah? You have to.
You taste our chips, it's not heavy. Yesterday we made flour from it. We cut them into chips and dried them in the sun, and we took them to the mill. And we milled it into a flour, very fine flour, which we're going to start mixing with ragi and make dosas with. We're going to work with that now, finding nice ways to use it. It's absolutely delicious. Yeah. It's how you use the things, you know. Like one person will have an experience of something, and the papaya they got was a soapy, unripe one from Pondi, and they don't like papaya. They need to then come and have papaya that's grown in a natural way, without much irrigation, with a very diverse nutrition in the soil, not compost heavy, nitrogen heavy, and taste the difference. Because there's a world of differences, you know. It's a huge difference. So people need to get that experience, and that happens in the mouth. So anyway, Saturday,
10:30.
That's the 21st of June, 10:30 at Solitude. The following week on 28th, there's the same sort of meeting again, but exclusively about local food and education in Oroville.
Sounds promising. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's gaining momentum. It's beautiful. It's been a beautiful journey so far. I think it's going to spawn many initiatives that, you know, are independent, just doing things on their own because people want to do things, you know.
Thank you, Krishna.
Yeah, thank you so much. See you.